I want to thank everyone for listening in. This is Rob Jones from One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism.net, Edifying the Body Ministries. And tonight we're going to continue our study on Romans chapter 6 and the issue of sanctification. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 and verses 15 and everything that comprises when Paul says, shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? And we're continuing on that when in verse 15 he says, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. You know, and there's a difference there, because Paul talked about us continuing in sin in the first two chapters. You know, and then he picks it up here in verse 14 and 15, asking the same question. We're going to look at why Paul does that, and why he says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And that will provoke a person to think, what then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? So we're going to look at that and look at all those amazing aspects that come along with that. But before we do that, I want to let everyone know that Monday nights we have Pastor Timothy Robinson from Glenn, Texas there, and his number is 641-715-3610. That's 641-715-3610. Access code is 858-817-pound. Access code is 585-817-pound. Tuesday night you have Bishop Michael McDaniels. Phone number is 805-399-1000. Access code is 988-138-POUND. That's telephone number, 805-399-1000. Access code 988-138-POUND. Thursday nights we have Pastor Trent Cole, 559-726-1200. That's 559-726-1200. Access code is 516-380-POUND. 516-380-POUND. Now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6? When we're looking at Romans chapter 6, we're going to be looking at when Paul talks about the issue of about sin not having dominion over you. And see, in the earlier studies, we looked at the danger that there is in not having the right foundation laid as a saint in Christ. So you can be a justified person in Christ. You can even understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. But if you're not being built upon the right foundation, then you can and you will have your edification and maturity stalled. See, most saints don't fully grasp the severity of this. See, and not having a proper foundation rest upon as a saint and son in Christ is dangerous. And we need to fully understand that fact. We need to fully grasp that. Because if we don't fully lay hold onto that and understand that, then you'll be taken advantage by Satan at his will. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 here, and let's look at verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. See, the issue is, sin had dominion over us. And that's how it was beat in the beginning there. See, when Paul says sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. See, a lot of people, well, oftentimes when you look at this, the words that stand out to you is sin, dominion, law. But that's not what the emphasis should be placed upon to a certain degree. Because what you need to look at is the words right before and after that. When it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And it says, ye are not under the law, but under grace. You need to understand something, that sin, in order for sin to have dominion over you, it had to be given it by a higher authority. And that's what the word, you notice it doesn't say, sin shall not reign over you. You notice it doesn't say reign, like used over there in verse 12. It says dominion, because sin was given dominion because of the law. See, that's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to see that. That sin was given dominion over us when the law, when Israel signed over to that law contract. And see, sin, it was given dominion by God himself. But you know, if you ask a natural man, the most natural thing he would say or think to be obvious would be, he would say, like verse 15, it says, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. The natural man would think it to be a natural thing to say, ye are under the law. Not like it says here, for ye are not under the law. He would actually think that he is under the law. And you will tell someone, any churchgoer today, that he is not under the law, and he would think that, you say, oh, that person needs deliverance. That person has a spirit. That person, he's a demon. He's going straight to hell. But we're going to see that not having a proper foundation, not being built upon the proper foundation, is dangerous, like I said before. And it has something to do with this. And I know you're sitting back saying, what does the law have to do with us today? Hey, I know we're not under the law. But what does that have to do with, why would Paul be saying this right here in Romans chapter 6? Right after talking about justification in Romans 3:21 up until chapter 6. And we're going to get to that. And see, the natural man thinks if you take away the law, you take away his reason for doing good. And see, before the law, death reigned from Adam to Moses. That's what the Bible says. Romans 5 says, death reigned from Adam to Moses. See, God dealt with man as God Almighty. He judged, he punished man by his own hand, so to speak. Just as you would deal with a child, learning right from wrong, you know, you would tap on the hand and, you know, tell him no and treat him as such. But see, what God dealt with Israel, he dealt with Israel as children. And Israel decided to enter into that law contract. And when they said, all these things here we will do, when Moses came and brought that law down to them, they, instead of falling upon God's gracious, Jehovah's grace and mercy, they decided to enter into that contract. They decided to do this on their own, just as man does today. They decided to want to do good by their own standards, to self-justify themselves. So what God did was, God gave sin dominion over Israel. See, at this point, God gave Israel laws, commandments, where Israel will become guilty before God because of their inability to keep the law. See, there was no need for God to have to wipe out people or pour his wrath out upon man anymore. See, it was as if Israel was punishing themselves when they sinned. So this is why they went through those five courses of punishments, those five installments. And not even just that, those five trials they went through before. God was trying to prove Israel with those five trials at that time before the law. And he thought they would fall upon Jehovah's grace and mercy, but they didn't. He was trying to teach them something. He was trying to teach him about his grace and mercy and about his Jehovah-ness and who he was. He wanted, that's why he sent Moses down and say, tell him that I am sent you. In other words, I am anything you need me to be. But Israel, they said, well, we want the law. We want to be educated in that sense. So that's why they went through those curses. I turn the Bible, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at verse 26. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, now let me see this. When you notice how many times it says over, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creepy thing that creepeth. Now, that's because when you see this here, he says, let them have dominion. And he's saying that in verse 26, it says, and let them. This is something that was given over by God. And when someone has dominion or dominionship, if I can coin that phrase, it's something that they have controlling interest over because it was given to them by someone of a higher authority. And that's what sin had. And when you see this here, this is talking about in the beginning here. This is in the beginning. And notice verse 28 here. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That word subdue means to bring something under subjection. See, that's what man was supposed to do at that time. Man was supposed to subdue the earth and have dominion over the fish, the fowl, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's everything under the earth, on the earth, and above the earth. Man was to have dominion over that. But when Adam and Eve sinned, dominionship fell to the next one that was nearby. See, God gave dominion over all these things, over the earth to man. He also gave death dominionship over Adam and us when Adam fell. And when Adam sinned, his dominionship was up for grabs. See, there was no other man on the earth to till the ground and to be a helpmeet unto God. See, that power was delivered onto Satan. And then now, because of that, that's how death had dominion. Death had dominion over man. And dominionship was given over unto Satan. And, you know, when you see this, you know, you look at this, and see, man wanted to listen and be taught by Satan in the garden. And ever since then, man has had a desire to want to be taught by him. Because, see, what Satan teaches and what this world teaches is they cater to the flesh of man. See, and the flesh that we possess, it's, you know, it would come along and act like it has our best interests in mind. It knows what's best in our life. But at this point here, when you see in verses 14 to 15 of Romans, we need to understand this is the point that Paul is trying to make, that he's trying to explain to you that there is a separation of your flesh and your spirit, and that the two are not one. But see, we are identified with Jesus Christ, and we are one with him. And that's the big difference here. And the biggest difference is that, you know, man will come along and tell you about things like deliverance and there's certain things that you have to do to get this spirit out of your life and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with God's word and truth at all. But what it has to do with is a show of the flesh. It has to do with man glorying in himself. You know, and man gives the speeches about self-assurance and telling you that you are somebody and God loves you and things like that, and he wants you to be happy, he wants you to be rich, he wants you to be wise, and he wants your life to prosper, things like that. And all these things, all this does is it caters to man. It caters to his flesh. But see, the flesh is something that we're taught that there is a big divide right there. And that's what the education is here. For Romans 6, 7, and 8, that's what the education is. It's to explain to you actually what you are in Christ. And you can't set your affections and everything else based upon your flesh. Because your flesh is going to lust after this world. But the spirit is supposed to lust after the word of God. And that's the difference there. But let's look at the law. Let's come to Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at the law here. Look at what Jesus Christ has to say about this. And how things was in his day to the religious man in his day. The Benny Hinn's and the Joel Osteen's and the T.D. Jakes and those guys that propagate this untruth. So Matthew chapter 5, let's look at verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till the heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, to all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus Christ is saying he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill it. And when someone fulfills something, they come to oftentimes add. They come to not just cap it off, but they come to actually bring it to its fulfillment, bring it to where it was designed to, its reaching point, so to speak. And when he says to fulfill it, he's explaining here, and let's go down to the next verse. Will I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, and shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fully filled. And the jot and tittle, those were those little tiny, in the Hebrew language, little tiny words there, the little smallest dots in there. Now, and it says to all be fulfilled. And that's what he came to do. But see, you're going to see that the biggest thing here is what the law was designed to do. Notice he says, and shall teach men so, and he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. And see, anytime we assume, looking at today, anytime we assume that God is doing something he's not doing, what we're actually doing, we're actually putting ourselves under the law, whether it's by God's law or whether it's by man's law. And that's what you're going to see here, how man can make a law unto himself. Let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15 says that then came Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, ye did Isaiah's prophecy. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And you see here about the, you see what they, you know, the Pharisees, they even knew that what they were going by was the traditions of the elders, the traditions of their own, of their fathers. And see what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that they transgress when they do this. They transgress against the commandment of God. But see, these Pharisees thought they were going by the prophets in the Bible, the God's word. And they do as verse 8 says, you know, they do draw nigh unto God with their mouth, and they honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. They worship him in vain. The reason why they worship him in vain is because man teaches that there's certain things you got to do. They place importance upon washing their hands when they eat bread. They place all the emphasis upon the flesh. They're not worried about the God's word. They're so concerned with the outer appearance, with the satisfying of the flesh. See, people can be taught something for so long that it becomes gospel unto them. So when you look at the holy men in Christ's day, you see again in verse 8 and 9, it shows that, yeah, it sounds good, looks good, but if it's not what God's word says, then there's no truth in it. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 28 now. And we're going to look at Matthew 28, and we're going to look at something that most will call the Great Commission. And men will call that the Great Commission because he feels this is where God commissioned him as a great man, you know, as a great preacher to go out and teach other people in all nations, and it's his job to bring the kingdom in. So man will teach this, and he'll teach that that's what people are supposed to do today, that we're supposed to go out, but that guy won't leave his city. Maybe if he go to a couple of Bible conferences here and there. But then he's amongst other brethren, supposedly. But he's taught to go out to all nations and teach them. But he's saying they have to understand he has to start Jerusalem first, but he'll work around that, though. So let's go to Matthew 28. Let's look at verse 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, do you notice what Jesus said here? He says, go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. See, the Lord gave commands. He gave commands, statutes, judgments, as we've seen. He did these things to fulfill the law. And his word was a fulfilling of the law. When we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're looking at law. We're looking at these people under the law. Now, the Pharisees, they placed the law onto their own selves. They had their own law that they went by. But let them tell it, they were going by the law of Moses. the same way with people today. People today say they're going by the Word of God. They're going by the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And if you say, well, are you teaching according to the revelation of mystery? Sure. Sure we are, they'll say. But that's not the truth, because what they're doing is they're teaching and preaching in vain, the same way the Pharisees of that time did, because people today are concerned with the flesh. And the more we get involved, the more time evolves, the more this church world evolves, it evolves into more ungodliness. And it evolves into more ungodliness because now you see people, they place emphasis upon their flesh, the things they do in church services now. There's plays, there's not just music, but there's bands, there's shows, there's CDs put out, there's all these different things that have nothing to do with God's word. But they'll say, no, well, this is worship and praise service and ministry. Well, where's the word of God? If you're leaving out God's word, if you have to close God's book, then it's not God's word. It's commandments and tradition of men. And see, the law was not designed. See, the law was designed to not only put you under sin's dominion, but it was designed to also teach. And that's why you see here the word teach here. And let's look at, I want to look at something. Come back to Matthew 19. Come back to Matthew 19. I want to show you, give you, for instance, about how man can have his own commandments and his own doctrines and things like that. Let's look at Matthew 19. We're going to look at the issue with the rich young ruler here. Let's look at Matthew 19. Let's look at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy mother and thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, this guy, this ruler, a lot of people look upon this and say and assume that this is the method of salvation. A lot of people oftentimes, and I fall victim to that too, I used to think the same way, that looking at this, that what Jesus is doing, he's telling him how a Jew can become saved. He has to keep the commandment. But that's not what that's talking about at all. Notice what he says here in verse 16. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? See, he wasn't falling upon Jesus and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was saying what he can do. Same thing Israel did. That's the same thing Israel said. All these things we will do that I may have eternal life. And notice what Jesus said here. He said, keep the commandments. Now, when he said keep the commandments, he meant all the commandments. Notice the rich young ruler said, which? He assumed that you don't have to keep them all. You can just keep a few, 10, 12, how many ever you can remember, the bad ones that you used to break. Keep those, and then you're good. You're justified now. That's why he said, which? See, when Jesus said these five, six commandments here, I mean, we got to understand the 613, he didn't mention covetousness because he knows this rich young ruler is covetous. He covets. Now, And then he said, all these things I have kept from my youth up. And I know that's a lie right there also. But he says, give what lack I yet. And Jesus said to him, sell all you have. Now see, that selling all he has, even though he didn't keep the commandments, that right there would be, this guy would have been trusting that he is the Messiah for him to sell all he has, based upon the doctrine that was given over there when they told him, when Jesus told the multitude, take no thought wherewith you shall be clothed or what you should eat or what you should drink. The Father knows you have need of all these things. And he told him to sell all they have. And if he had sold all he had, he would have been trusting that Jesus was the Messiah. But evidently, as you see in verse 22, he didn't do that. He went away sorrowful because he knew he was going to lose everything. And see, the Lord gave new commandments unto his nation. And see, that was the fulfilling of the law. That's what that was all about. When you notice in verse 18, he told them to keep all he had. He told them to keep the commandments. He meant everything, not to pick and choose which one are more pleasing unto God. And that's what people do. That's what they do nowadays. And let's look at that over there. Let's look at, come to Luke chapter 18. Look at Luke 18, and we're going to see something here about how people can pick and choose which commandments are the worst or the best. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes all I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, you notice that the Pharisee also picked which laws he was to sanctify himself onto? See, he thought he was better than what he was. And he, and like most people today, they think that they have a righteous standing before God based upon the things that they do. See, they think that what they have to do is come up with a way to self-justify themselves and self-sanctify themselves. And you see how he did here? Notice it says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. In other words, he wasn't praying unto God because he was unjustified. That's not just saying he stood over in the corner by himself. He prayed with himself. He wasn't praying to God. But you notice the publican doesn't say, it says the publican was the one standing afar off. But he was praying unto God. And what did he do? He fell upon God's Jehovah-ness, grace, and mercy. He knew he was a sinner. He understood that he needed help. This other guy, he didn't think he needed any help. He named off a few things and said he doesn't do that. He's not an extortioner. He's not unjust. Well, of course he was. He's not an adulterer. And, you know, it's something because the publican, maybe the publican was an extortioner. Maybe he was an adulterer. Who knows? But the idea is that it wasn't this guy to judge him. But he mentioned he fasts and he gives tithes. And, you know, today, if you have churches today that are teaching tithing, having you to give tithes, they're placing you back under the law, and people don't understand that. They don't think that that's the case of, well, what's the harm? What's the harm in this? It's a big deal. Okay. Yeah, we tithe. Okay. We baptize. What's the big deal? Well, I'm going to show you what that is. I'm going to show you the big deal. Let's go back to our epistles now. Let's go to Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians, and let's go to chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the gospel, unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. I'm going to stop there. You see how he says that they're so removed from him that called them unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel? Now they are given another gospel. They're given unto it. And they will pervert, and he says, they'll trouble you. There is a danger when you are not founded upon the right doctrine because you're an easy target for Satan. And you're going to fall for perversions. You're going to fall for distortions of the truth, another gospel. Now come down to verse 11 here. Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. You see, Paul is saying here, he's explaining his authority of the doctrine. And then he's explaining that in the Jews' religion, he persecuted the church of God. But now you know he wasted it. It was a waste of time. And he said he profited in that. And that was the thing. His flesh profited in it. That's what it was about. It was about himself, lifting up of himself, profiting more. He's worried about, he said, above many of my equals. He was top of the class, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of the fathers. Not only was he in the tradition of the fathers and living by it and giving on to it, he was more exceedingly zealous of it and in it. He propagated it. But see, those are the traditions of the fathers, not God's word. But that's what people do today. See, the common thinking of man is going to be, well, you know, if I'm not under the law, then what's stopping me from sinning? That's not why the law was given. The law was given so that sin would have dominion and man would be legally guilty before God. That's the whole point and purpose. Now man would be placed up under that law, and when man would sin, he would be punished, and it would be the five courses of punishment that he'd have to go through as Israel. Israel would go through those five courses of punishment and its five installments. That's what man would, it was the outer flesh. It was the outward man punishment. Had nothing to do with their justification. It was an outward man punishment only. It had to do with their land. It had to do with them being plagued in the family, things like that. There's different aspects of that, the five courses of punishments and its installments. But after each course, it got worse. And then it got worse. And it got to the point where God would just leave. He would be silent unto them. Over there, when you're looking at the third installment, he just wasn't talking to man at all at that time. Not only did he leave the land, he left from talking to man for that 400-year silence that you see over there in Amos chapter 8. But now when you look at this, now let's come over to Colossians chapter 2. We're running out of time here. Sure. Colossians chapter 2. And let's look at verse Let's look at verse 18 for time's sake here. Colossians 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, mainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ in the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility in neglecting of the body, not in any honor, to the satisfying of the flesh. So the flesh has a desire to place itself under the law and to be subject unto that. You see, as you see over here in verse 20, he says, ye are subject to the ordinances. But see, when you perform sanctification based upon rudiments, ordinances, commandments, and doctrines of men, you place yourself under a law in itself. And that's what you see here. That's what is being said here. Not holding the head, which is not going by what God's word says. But watch what this says here. If you're dead with Christ, you're dead from the rudiments of the world. And like he says, as you're subject to ordinances. Not the ordinances of this world. He says, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. But these things have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility. But when they do that, they're neglecting the body. And all it does is give honor to themselves and satisfying of the flesh. There's no glorification of God there like man thinks. Man thinks that he's giving honor and glory unto God. What he's doing is giving honor and glory unto his pastor in itself is what he's doing. Now let's go over to 1 Timothy, and we're going to close here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's go to verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved and turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they affirm. And I'm going to stop there. You're looking at that. Paul's beseeching Timothy. He said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. And he wanted people not to teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. But see, godly edifying is not about that. See, these people are placing themselves under a law when they teach other doctrines. They're teaching other statutes for men to live by, for men to believe in. And if you notice, every epistle taught by Paul comes along and he tells in every epistle, the issue of he gives you the doctrine and then there's a warning. There's a doctrine and then there's warning. And even over in Philemon, when Paul is talking over there to Philemon, he's telling Philemon, I know you're going to do more than I say. I know you're going to walk upon godly love and charity. I know you're not going to walk that way. I know you're not going to do it the contrary way. But in every epistle, he's explaining that there's God's way and then there's man's way. And we're supposed to do everything we do based upon grace. Our work's supposed to be based upon grace, God's grace and mercy. That's how he saved us. That's how we're supposed to walk in sanctification also. We're supposed to walk in sanctification by grace, not a fear-motivated thing. That's what would be fear-motivated, that we're doing these things because of something if we don't do, we're going to go to hell, there's going to be judgment. We do the things we do based upon God's gracious mercy and what his mercy has done for us. That's what it means to be under grace and not under the law. But this is something that man failed to see in this day and time.